Let's get started. So we're in Vayechi, which is exciting. The end of Sefer Bereishis. So we have the bulk of Vayechi is going to be the brachos given to all the Shvatim, the Yaakov Avinu. So it says here, I'll borrow a Kumash for a moment. So it says, towards the beginning, right, Hikabsu Vishimu Bnei Yaakov Vishimu El Yisrael Avichem, right, Bnei Yaakov, come and listen. Reuven bechoriata kochi v'rishis oni yeser se'ez v'yeser az. Right, Reuven. Then we get to Shimon and Levi. Shimon v'Levi achim klei chamas micheiro sehem. Shimon and Levi are brothers. The tools of evil are their micheiro sehem. Rashi says are their weapons, but we're going to see in the or another davar acher, right, their trade. It's their life livelihood. B'sodam al tavo nafshi, in their secret plans. I don't want my soul to be involved. B'kalam al teichad kvodi, I don't want my honor to be placed upon their gatherings. Like I don't want anything to do with their schemes, their gatherings. Ki ba'apam hargu ish, through their wrath they killed man. Uvirtzonam ikrushor, and through their desire they uprooted oxen. Arur apam ki az, let their wrath again, right, be cursed because it's az. What's a good word for az?
Brazen.
But like it's like over. It's like in a negative sense, like overpowering. What? Yeah, like it's az. V'evrasam ki kashasa, and their wrath again, I guess, is very severe. Achalkeim b'Yaakov, afitzeim b'Yisrael. I'll divide them up in Yaakov, and I'll spread them out in Yisrael. Okay, and then we get to Yehuda, a little bit more positive. Okay, so now Shimon and Levi's, it's not exactly even a bracha, but kind of achris hayamim, like their nature. So says the Ramban, Shimon v'Levi achim, yomar ba'alei achva. Why are we mentioning the brotherhood of Shimon and Levi? First of all, we're saying they're brothers. Ki echam li bam alachosam, because the whole context of what brought them to this quasi bracha or quasi almost klala is because of what they did in this brotherly spirit because of Dina. Yilamid aleim schus ki bikinasam ala achva asu masha asu, and through this suddenly Yaakov Avinu is being malamid schus because of their brotherhood is what brought them to do what they did. Right? Anybody remember something from the actual psukim from the episode of Dina, Shimon and Levi, and Shechem that reminds us of this? Because it says, Hachazonaya says Hachoseinu. Right? Yaakov Avinu was criticizing them for, well, how could you do this? He says, Hachazonaya says Hachoseinu. What? You're going to treat our sister like a Zona? So obviously, they felt very strongly about protecting their Mishpacha. Lomar She'en Ru'im Le'onish Gadol, right? To tell us that we Yaakov Avinu says, I understand why you did what you did, but I still disagree. But I don't want it to be punished so severely. V'lo achid roi limachil, nevertheless, Hashem shouldn't forgive them. Ki uchamas, it's corruption, it's evil. V'anachon be'enai, another pshat. Sharma ki Shimon v'levi achim gemurim domim u'misachim zelaze ba'atzasam u'masem. Another possibility is that they're completely brotherly-like and that they're almost identical twins. Not so much talking about their protection of Dina, but in terms of how similarly they think and they act. Okay, we'll maybe get back to that. Ukvar Perashi, this is not so much our Indian, but we didn't talk about it the first time around, so I guess we'll look at it quickly now. I already explained, Ki Yaakov katzaf al Shimon v'Levi behargam anshe ir bavur she'asu chamas. The Yaakov Avinu, even though right, the Ramban is using the word chamas, they say that they did something terrible, obviously, Shechem and the city and Chamor, and everybody there, they did something of chamas, it was terrible. Nevertheless, Yaakov Avinu felt that it wasn't right to kill them. Ki heim lo chatu lehem klal. The inhabitants did nothing wrong at all against Shimon and Levi or Dina. And secondly, they entered, right, there is a scheme of Shimon and Levi, and they agreed to it, and they agreed to have a bris. They agreed to be part of this covenant of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, doubly so, how could you go ahead and kill them afterwards? And maybe they could have been sincere Jews. Right? We have this idea that Yavar Avinu was going along, kind of converting people, I know, to mamish, to be part of his household, or at least to be aware of the way of Hashem, so this town could have been part of that. V'od, and we're up to third of all, Chara lo shelo yomro ki ba'atzaso na'ase hadavar v'yechil l'Hashem, shi'ase hanavi chamas v'shod. And third of all, the Ramban says, Yaakov Avinu felt what they did was wrong, as he said before. It was wrong because the people of this town did nothing against them. Second of all, because he entered this bris. And third of all, when somebody who's a tzaddik does something wrong, it's even worse. So he didn't want people to think that he had any involvement in this scheme. That's why Yaakov Avinu is saying, I don't want anything to do with their secret schemes. Right? He had nothing to do with their scheme when they came and persecuted this town, you know, in a scheming way. And also, Yaakov is saying, I had nothing to do with their congregating when they went to this town to kill them. Therefore, Yaakov is cursing their anger because they did something wrong. That's that's the pshat of Umklus. Fine. What does it mean that these weapons are their mecherosem? Adas unklus v'alam afarshim klei chamas migureim migurosehem v'chein michurosechum ulatecha v'chein al eretz mechorosehem. Amru, what does it all mean? Amru ki perusha she'asu chamas be'eretz migurosehem. I think it's Rashi's second shot, maybe. But the idea of the weapons are their mechorosehem, meaning to say that they came to their homeland and they went and did this mechorosehem, means like the place where they lived, and they did this chamas. V'imkein, yeshur akasav, is how the pasuk would read, klei chamas lehem b'migurosehem. They use these weapons for evil in their land. V'ikrosam osa eretz migurosehem shegaru ba'achre. It's calling it the land where they live because they took it over and lived there afterwards. Okay, so, but according to that pshat, it seems like the Lashon Migorosem isn't really telling us that much. Just saying that it's the weapons they use in the land they're going to live in. Aval fi da'ati yomar klei chamas heim migorosem, chayehem, says the Ramban, no. This is talking about there's a good word in Hebrew to know, ofi. Ofi is like the character, it's like the person's essence. That was their essence. That they are, what's that? Mahus, that's what I was looking for. Mahus, that was the English word I was looking for. Right, mahus. Right, Kolashon yimei migurai, that's their mahus, is klei chamas. As it says, this is the days of my living. Yomar ki klei chamas atzman heim migurem. That is who their essence is to be with these weapons of evil. It's a little bit intense. Ki bam yichyu v'yazonu, through that they're going to live, not sustain themselves. They're going to give sustenance to themselves. What's the pshat there? I don't know. Okay, so we have the idea that the Ramban, the Yaakov Avinu, sees the essence, the mahus of Shimon and Levi, and he says that there's something very intense here. I think even a little bit too intense, Yaakov Avinu is saying. And therefore, you can't have them too concentrated together. And therefore, I have to spread them out amongst all of Klal Yisrael. They can't gather around to gather together. And that's what ended up happening. Kinachala Shimon, we have to get. This doesn't have the Shvatim. Nachla Shimon b'soch b'nei Yehuda. The Shimon's inheritance was within, protected, kind of circumscribed within b'nei Yehuda. Kidechsev, he nachlas b'soch nachlas b'nei Yehuda. Vayorei michulako zom yizo b'chol shevet Yehuda. And they were spread out, city, in different areas of Shevet Yehuda. V'nachlas Levi, arei miklat, minufatzos b'chol Yisrael. Right? And the arei miklat were spread out amongst all of Eretz Yisrael. And me'ever le'yardin. And therefore you see, l'maisa, that's what ended up happening. This is not just like figurative. They're too intense. Make sure they're not going to gather together. Literally, they were spread out amongst Klal Yisrael. They didn't have their own concentrated nachala. V'tam ki b'apam harigu ish v'ritzonam akrushor she'asu achamz v'apam v'shgazu ha'shchem v'ritzonam shen mechavitzim v'lo pasha hamumsem v'lo chatosam. The pasuk is saying through their wrath they killed the people because the people who they killed, Zayit Shechem and Chamor, didn't deserve to die. And just because of their wrath is what caused them to kill them. V'amar unklus. Kitam, I feel like this one I remember. Whatever, it won't be our focus. We'll just go through this next paragraph or so very quickly. V'amar unklus kitam shor kemor shur bishurik. What's a shur? Ikru shur. Min benos tzada ale shur. The girls climbed on top of the shur. Shur is the wall. V'tirgim bo od sna'a. I guess, which means wall. I don't know. Min v'tabet enai bishuri. Which I guess means wall. Okay, what does it mean through their evil they uprooted this shur, this wall? That time she'okru ir mukefes choma. The city apparently had a protective wall. And they came and broke it down in order to destroy them. Es tapam ves nesheam achre hargam anasheh. They uprooted the wall, and after they killed the combatants, they took all and destroyed all these people. V'yeh ikru min v'ikron ta'aker. I think it means taprut. No, I'm not sure. V'achir and pirshu kishor gadol bebehemos. Another pshat is that shor literally means ox. They uprooted an ox because an ox is a very powerful animal. Remez lechamor v'shchem benonis yaretz. I don't know if it's like a play on words the Ramban is getting at, because he was called the Chamor, so now we're referencing him as a shor, but they uprooted these animals, which represents the leaders. Kamo b'chor shoro hadar lo. So what the Ramban is saying now is that what you see in Tanakh, sometimes the leaders of a certain people are allegorized as being these powerful animals. Paros habash anasher b'har shomron. Again, talking about the sarim. V'chein yichanu aksuv masarim magdolim be'ailim va'atudim. We have this idea in Nevi'im a lot of representing leadership with these animals. Fine, one way or another, they killed the town and the people. First of all, Ramban says it's kipchuto. They killed all the people. After they already were, their anger was calmed down because they felt like they were no game nikmas, their sister. So then they're already calmed down. And then barigas anashim okru kol shor. They nevertheless went ahead and uprooted all the animals. Remez l'mikneh v'kinam kol shor b'ayz v'kol shor b'asad eskizeh l'amar ki v'sodan lo ba'nashim b'chol eila afilu l'akor lehem mikneh v'kinam labuz v'salam l'klal. So Yaakov Inu was saying, I had no interest in what they did, neither in what they did against killing people, which I obviously was against, but even what they did, and they killed animals and they took spoils from the city, all that I thought was wrong. V'yakru min v'susim ta'akir achakol lashon. Fine. What I want to focus on just a little bit, I guess it's in the sheets, the paragraph that begins, Ava lefi daiti. Maybe that line in the very beginning of the Ramban, where he says, Shem v'levi achim, Shem v'levi achim gemurim domim umis achim zelazeh. So we see the idea that the Ramban feels that Shimon and Levi, at their core, were people who were dangerous. They had a certain kanos, but maybe a little bit excessive kanos. And Yaakov Avinu felt that it was wrong. So now let's look at, and even the Ramban says that Lamaisa, when Yaakov says Achalkein be Yisrael, he means Kipshuto, and they were divided up. But look at Rashi here, source number two. Achalkein be Yaakov, Afridim ze mizesh lo ye Levi b'minin ha-shvatim, v'reim chilukim. Okay, first of all, it's that I won't count them, Levi won't be counted amongst the shvatim, therefore he's not going to be included, he's going to be separate. That's like Achalkein, that's not like the Ramban. Davar acher, I apologize for that, I don't know what happened. Ein lecha aniyim v'sofrim u'molam de tinokos ela mishimin. Kadeshu nefutzim. It's kind of like what the Ramban was saying, but not exactly. The Rashi is getting at, I think based on the Medrash, the idea that also Shimon and Levi are going to be divided up. The Ramban viewed it more in terms of their actual nachala. And now Rashi is saying in terms of the people. So first of all, Shimon had to be divided up because they're very poor people. They had to go around asking for money. And there are people who would, they would be the malamdim, and they had to go from town to town and find people to teach. And that's somehow Shimon was destined to be that. Kedeshu nefutzim. So they'll be spread out. V'shifto shalevi aso mechazer ala gronos v'chumos v'lemaisro v'sazlam tfutzaso derach kabot. And Levi, again, following this perspective that it means a chalkim in terms of people, Levi had to go from threshing floor to threshing floor, and he was always in the places where people had to give them the maestros and trumos, I guess. So that's what everybody had to kind of, they weren't doing regular jobs in the field. Like with their nachala, everybody had to go around from place to place to get their parnasa, but for Levi it was derech kavod. Okay. We can read the Samik Davar, and then we'll include the Sefer at the bottom. Achal came Yaakov said the Samik Davar here. Nitzrach liprakim ma'at anashim ke'ele. So the way that the Tziv understands this, the idea of spreading them out is because when they're too concentrated, that's dangerous. A little bit, it's not, meaning when I want to spread them out, it's not only because that way they'll kind of get watered down and won't be as extreme and they won't be harmful. But lehefech, when you have this midah, but in a less concentrated kind of place, kind of format, that's actually beneficial. Too much in one place is harmful. I want to spread them out. There'll be a couple people here, a couple people there. Afitim Yisrael, the Nativ is saying, means figuratively. Not only in terms of Nachala, or in terms of the Rashi says, the people, it means in terms of this Midah. I'm going to take this Midah from Shimon and Levi and kind of water it down across all of Klal Yisrael. But just a little bit. I'll spread them out. I'll spread out this midah amongst Klal Yisrael. So, before we get to the punchline, which I guess I feel like is already pretty clear about the importance of using your midos for the right reasons, but let's look at one last makor, the sifrei, the medrash. Ulelevi Omar. This is already from Vizos Habrachas, from the end of the Torah. So we are now at a crossroads. We're about to go to the Shibud. which is going to lead to Yitzias Mitzrayim, which can lead to Matan Torah, which is going to lead to getting to Eretz Yisrael and having the Nachal. I guess maybe we're not at the crossroads. We're at the beginning of a journey. That's probably the better way to say it. And Zos HaBracha is, to a certain extent, almost at the end of the journey. We're about to get to Eretz Yisrael. So Sling has changed dramatically between Vayichi and Vezos HaBracha. At this point, Shimon and Levi are Achim, as Ramban says, right? Achim Gemurim Dom is Achim Zelazeh. They're identical, identical twins. Yaakovinu says, maybe a little bit in a bad way. At the end of their travels, though, they end up taking very different paths. So let's look at the Sifri. Ulevi Amar. Lama Namar. What's the Pasuk saying? Ulevi Amar. Who's a Balkori for Vezos HaBracha? Tumecha V'urecha Li'ish Chasidecha. Yeah, right, is that right? I feel like not about Kore. Lama Namar. So Levi, if he, Shimon and Levi's brachas from Vayichi are identical. When it gets to Zos HaBracha, it's completely different. Lama Namar. Levi, Shimon, and Levi, Shneim, Shasu, Bekos Echa. They each drank from the same cup. They each began their journey with the same resources. Shneimar, Arur Apam, Ki Az, Ve'efrasam, Ki Kashasa, Achalkem, Biyako, Afitim, Biyisrael. Mashal Lishnaim Shalavu Min HaMelech. The mashal is, you have two people who borrowed from the king, right? The nimshal being that Shimon and Levi were kind of in Hebrew it's called minus. Do you know what minus means? Minus is minus. What does that mean? It's a state of being in overdraft, that your bank account is below zero. So right, Shalavu Min HaMelech. Both Shimon and Levi were in minus. They were they borrowed from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, meaning Hashem says you have a warning. I don't like how this is developing. Okay, echad para lamelech vechazer vehilves hamelech. One of them came and paid back to the king, and not only that, he ended up becoming wealthy and lent to the king. Vechad lo dayo shelo para elachazer velava. As opposed to the other one, not only did he not pay back, he borrowed again and never repaid. Kach Shimon velevi shneim lavu b'shchem. Both of them borrowed in Shchem. That put them in this negative territory. Shneim aravichu shnei ben Yaakov Shimon velevi achedina ish chara veyevo aleir betach veyar. Zachar, period. Okay, so that's, we know the story. Levi, para mashalav b'midbar. Levi paid back. How did he pay back? As it says, v'yamon Moshe b'shar ha'machna, v'yamar komar Hashem, simu ishchar ba'yarecha, v'yasu b'nei Levi k'dvar Hashem. Okay, so Levi repaid their debt in the story of the eagle. V'chazar v'hilves ha'mokom b'shitim, sh'namar, pimchaz ben alaz ben aron ha'koin, hishiv ischamasi me'al b'nei Yisrael, b'kanoz k'nasi b'socham, v'lo kilisis b'nei Yisrael b'kanasi. And they even went ahead and were malveh to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the fact that they said that Pinchas representing this midah of Azus, so he ends up doing it l'shem shamayim, and not only l'shem shamayim, but actually for the sake of protecting Klal Yisrael in the bigger picture. So again, I don't think the examples of this medrash are random, meaning the examples we see are the same exact midah that Levi used against Shechem and Chamor, against the whole city. He then used l'shem shamayim. He used l'shem shamayim against their fellow brothers in Chet Ha'egel, and used l'shem shamayim for the sake of killing Zimri in the story of Pinchas. Right? Shimon lo dayo shlo para. Shimon, who had these midos, not only did he not pay it back. You have Shimon and Levi became Achim, and then end up that Levi, seems like almost not only literally, but also figuratively, says the Sifrei, killed Shimon. I mean, he says that your midah of Azus, you've used that in this terrible way, and we're now turning against our former brother, our twin brother. We're now using the same shamayim of the story of Pinchas and Zimri. So I think that the message of this, I don't know if it's clear, but I think something that we could probably figure out. First of all, at the very, very just basic level, in terms of we're talking about kanos of Azus, so that's the kind of midah that is needed. It's needed in the world, but it's needed in very careful measure, because too much Azus is very destructive. All the more so in our world. Our world, people are not very receptive to Musr. People are not very receptive to fire and brimstone. For one reason or another, it's just not how we operate. It's not how we get inspired. It's not how we get motivated. It doesn't work. And therefore, when we're with people, let's say, if it's during Ben Asmanim, or if it's when we're back at home, or just with old friends, who we see are doing things that really make us upset, That's good. It's good that it's making us upset. But if that becomes destructive, because we become critical of people, we become cynical of people, we become critical of Klal Yisrael as a whole, so that's something which is negative. And we have to be very careful about how we use that midah. It should be used l'shem shamayim, that azus should bring us to care so much about these people that we're so hurt by this evil that they're doing, let's say, that it makes it even more motivated to try to teach them, or at least to try to have a kesher with them so that hopefully they'll learn from us. But I think more than that, this model of the idea of Amida being destructive, but at the same time it could be used for good. I think this is in Chazal. I didn't bring the Gemara because it occurred to me after I already made the sheet. But a famous Gemara in Shabbos, I think it's Kuf Nun Aleph. The Gemara is talking about somebody who's born. The whole of the Gemara is towards the end of Shabbos are talking about Mazel. So it says whoever is born Tachas Ma'adim, who's born under the Mazel of Mars, which is Mars is the red planet, right? Okay, so the red planet. The red hat represents Dam. So he's gonna be a Shofech Damim. So the Gemara says that's not true. The Gemara says no, we don't mean Mamish. He's gonna be a murderer. He could be a Moel. He could be a Shochet. He could be a murderer. The Hemshach of the Gemara, I forget, Rav Yochanan or Shlakit, but the Hemshach of the Gemara, they say, Bechlal, I think it's not true. Ein mazel liYisrael, anybody could overcome their mazel. Meaning, it could be you won't have any, you're able to get to the point where that original midi you were born with has going to have no implication for what you are, but lamais, it's something you have to overcome for sure. Lekola deos in the Gemara. But the idea that a mida is not, having a certain mida doesn't mean that your fortune's been told. I forget what it is, but maybe you guys are familiar with it. But I think there's some psychologist who was like, he was a researcher in criminal behavior, and he was like the guy for like, there's a certain like psychotic like disorder that like all like mass, not all, many like mass murderers had. It was like a certain like area of their brain that was smaller, that was bigger, that was something. And he like one time like just for fun like studied his own brain and realized that he had that same thing. And he wrote a book about it. But he's like, he was like a happily married guy, you know, with kids, picket fence, not a mass murderer. And he said that the idea, that doesn't mean that you know, that being born with a certain proclivity, a certain midah, means that you're destined to do that. It just means you have something you have to overcome and you have to use in a certain way. And this is true about everything. And any midah we have, I feel like I know a bunch of people who, I didn't know them as kids, but they were clearly like off the wall OCD as kids. Like I could tell because that's what they're like now. But it just means at the same time he's like working in real estate, he's also volunteering in Hatzalah and he's also on the shul board and he's also like has like he's also like doing repairs for people like for free with this tool gemach. He's just like a guy like doing a million things at once, but he's doing a million wonderful things at once. And the idea is that Shimon and Levi start off with a certain midah, and that certain midah, again, like I said, it's not telling their fortune. It just means there's a certain thing they have to overcome. At the end of the day, what they do with that is what they make of it. And Shimon and Levi, as the Midrash says, went in very different paths, even though they started at the same exact place. Meretz Hashem. Hashem should always help us appreciate what our strengths are, what our weaknesses are, and always be able to use both of those and develop those. L'shem Shimon. Shkoyach, guys. Did we do Lo Yasser Shimon?